Here we go again. Another year, another wedding season. And I know what you're thinking. Cameron, weddings are awesome. What's there to fear? Well, drunk groomsmen, jealous bridesmaids, bad wedding singers, dreaded wardrobe malfunctions, a destination wedding where you lose your shoes. I don't know. They're still at the airport. There is plenty that could go wrong. But hey, this is your special day. And don't worry. We're going to help you through this. Hello and welcome to Survive or Die Trying, the podcast where we'll learn to survive anything and everything life can throw at you. I'm Cameron Esposito, comedian, actor, writer, survival expert. With the help of some amazing guests, I'll help guide you through some of life's stickiest situations. Hurricanes, bad breakups, no topic is off the table. And we'll bring you tips and tricks every week with a new episode out each Wednesday. But before we start, okay, I gotta say, this show is for entertainment purposes only. We're not experts in the traditional sense or the modern sense or any sense, really, but we will certainly do our best. Okay, now I know this show is called Survive or Die Trying. I know we've talked about actual physical survival situations, but today we're talking about weddings, which, by the way, you have to emotionally survive, like whether it's your wedding or like, gasp, like somebody else's. I don't know which is worse. I truly don't know which is worse. And here to talk with me about that is my co-host and producer, who we love, Alex Zonnefeld. Alex, immediate soundbite on weddings.
I'm very much looking forward to today. I have never been married. Having said that, best position to be in a wedding is being part of the wedding party, but not the best man or the focal point. You want to be one of the grooms, but you want a little bit of responsibility, but not too much, is my opening take.
Today we have our first guest. And obviously we started at the very top with somebody I've known for a minute, who I love, stand-up comic, writer, host of the podcast, The Juice. It's Solomon Giorgio. Solomon.
Hello.
Get the fuck over here.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
It's good to be here.
Are you incredibly excited to talk weddings?
I can talk about anything, honestly. Weddings especially. It's a topic that I've had to endure multiple times. My initial thoughts on weddings is pretty straightforward. I'm con. On average, I go to as few as possible. And if I do show up, that means I really love you as a person. That means I appreciate you so much. Because for me, it's just the whole day is the issue.
Now, I've got a follow-up question on that, Solomon. Are you an RSVP no, or is it just truly ghosting an invitation?
I've only accidentally ghosted an invitation once. I've also missed a wedding that I was supposed to officiate.
Oh, heavens. Oh, no.
But that was due to poverty and career and a career opportunity. That's different.
Yeah.
But on average, like when I do go, I go all out. I am an amazing wedding guest. I'm good at parties. If I show up to a party, it's guaranteed to be a good party. I'm just very selective with which parties are going to be weddings that I'm willing to endure.
So I think something that we've all got in common is that I'm also an amazing wedding guest. I've been married twice. I've had two very different kinds of weddings. We'll talk about that in a minute. And also the most recent wedding I just went to last month, went to Costa Rica as a date, as a plus one. I want you to know that I only knew the bride. I knew nobody else at this wedding. The wedding photos have recently come back. I would say, if not the main character of these photos. It's embarrassing how low I am while dancing compared to where everybody else is. Like, I'm just not sure. The amount that I was bringing was 100%. And I don't know if that's too much or if it's a note for everybody else at the wedding to just kick it up a notch.
It's really a shame because I am a supermodel. They can't just, when people invite me to things, I'm like, what, are you sure about this? I will be in a photo and there will be no second place.
100%. I've seen your face. I know what you mean. The first thing I'm going to say is weddings from movies. Are there any good ones? Like, are there any that either of you have ever seen where you thought that you would like to have a similar wedding? Here's some examples. Wedding Crashers, Four Weddings and a Funeral, Bridesmaids, Wedding Singer, Love Actually, The Wedding Planner, Monster-in-Law, Father of the Bride. Father of the Bride is extremely misogynistic and rough. That movie does not hold up. I think they just released a reboot. I'm so sorry to Steve Martin, who obviously is good at everything.
I don't think any of them are particularly progressive pieces.
No, yeah. I mean, absolutely. I think that's one of our major problems coming into this episode, is that we have to create the idea that weddings can be good, while that's never been shown in popular culture prior to this.
They truly make every wedding sound like a monstrous, terrible event. and there's always I think the comedy in half of those wedding movies is the groom asking the dad for the hand in marriage. Like, okay. we're still doing
it. Isn't that horrifying? Well, so here's another thing I will say, is that I played a wedding planner very recently on television for the show With Love on Amazon. And I don't even know anything about what a wedding planner does, but when they called me in for a wardrobe fitting, there were like 12, I would call them normal suits, and one that looked like a circus tent / what a clown would wear. And I chose the circus tent. I look fucking amazing in it. It is green, is thick green and white pinstripes. And that is based only on other depictions of wedding planners. Like, to me, it's a game of telephone where, like, by the time it got to me, it's so over the top. I don't even know what baseline for that job is, except for obviously Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah. That's only information I have. And if you know what? Ideal wedding, Bride of Chucky. That would be
oh my God.
they were in love. They found each other. They were two tortured souls trapped in dolls, finally finding each other. Now that's just true love.
So we will be back after this to talk about how Solomon's mother ruined his brother's wedding. We're also gonna play, as always, a game of Thrive, Survive, or Take a Dive right after this.
Do you ever wonder how celebrities order food? Like, is Sarah Paulson a Diet Coke or a regular Coke girlie?
Some peasant Coke? No.
Or how does Sofia Vergara order a pizza?
No tomatoes. I cannot eat tomatoes.
Yes. Are you killed mushrooms?
Not really.
Okay. If these are the details you need, and I know you do, I have the podcast for you. I'm Jesse Tyler Ferguson, and on my podcast, Dinner's on Me, I take some notable friends of mine out to dinners in Los Angeles and New York City. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
That thing was delicious.
I want to ask you about destination weddings, because I think there's a couple different types of weddings that we need to talk through, and they are very different. So here's the two types I want to discuss. One is destination weddings. Have you been? What are your thoughts? And the other side of that coin, Zoom weddings. Have you been? What are your thoughts? Let's start with destination weddings.
Destination weddings, I've been to twice. I've been to like a small destination wedding, like just going up to like Lake Arrowhead. And I've also been to like Mexico. And honestly, that is my preferred way to do it, because at least I'm getting a trip out of it, a nice little vacation. And yeah, it's never like anyone who invites you to a destination wedding, it's usually somebody you know very well. And if it isn't, don't go to that wedding, because you're spending a lot of money.
Because you're stuck. Because like, you're on the top of a mountain. Yeah. You're in a different country.
Like, if you know somebody well.
That is my thought on a destination wedding, which is that most of the ones that I've been to are where that person actually currently lives. So I've been to one in Germany, I've been to one in Ireland, I've been to one in Argentina. And like, my little sister lives in Argentina, so I went for her wedding down there. But Zoom weddings, have you done this?
Zoom-wise, I've not done much during, like, it was something that I was not presented with as an option, and I'm very thankful, because I'd feel so bad just to be at somebody's wedding and slowly close my laptop after their no call. Like, I was like, oh, that was beautiful. Click.
So, I mean, I'm going to spoil this thing here, which is that, so I've been married twice, and the first time I got married like a rock club in Chicago. It was a rager. The second time I got married, I actually was on Zoom, because it was during the end of the pandemic, and we have family that on both sides, like, live in Europe, live in South America, live in Hawaii, and all across the US. So it was actually impossible for us to think about, like, when will all these people be able to be together? And so we did the thing that was like being written about in the fucking New York Times at that moment. And we got married technically at the courthouse in Santa Barbara. But what that meant is that there was a guy sitting at the courthouse in Santa Barbara with his laptop open,
yeah,
with his screen behind his little blue green screen behind him was the front of the courthouse that he was actually in. And he did an amazing job. And they were super booked at that time. So, like, we are not the only people who did this. It was very in demand.
I wish I got invited to one. It's actually my preference just to, like, turn my camera off and sit there.
I will also add that we did this thing where there was a place you could submit a toast. And because we didn't know how we would, like, how do we get people involved? And we didn't want to have to worry about, like, you know, you're like, mom, you're not, you're muted. Mom, you know, like, whatever. We have to, like, hire someone to go over and be tech support at her fucking house. Anyway, so people could submit toasts in advance. And thank God this was not today, because we thought we were going to get, like, two or three toasts. We got 45 minutes worth of one-minute toasts. You could submit a one-minute toast. It was so long. We didn't know what to do. We just played it. But it was early enough in the pandemic still where people were like, this is on my computer. Like people weren't yet where we are now. So that was a surprise and a trauma that I put my friends and family through. The last thing I want to say is, okay, straight weddings, queer weddings. Again, have we been to both? Which do we prefer? There is an obvious correct answer.
The answer is the queer ones. Also, preferably the lesbian ones.
Really? Will you tell me more?
Look, no one is more detailed and organized and has an eye for design and, like, 100%. Can build their own fucking gazebo on top of. Like, it is always going to be better 100%. In many shapes or forms.
100%. So I want to get to, Solomon, why you specifically are the guest we wanted to have today. You have this story about your brother's wedding. Could you just quickly run us through? It's a stand-up bit, and I hate to do this to another comic, but maybe you could, like, talk it out interpersonally as if that makes sense.
Like in a conversation format? I think I can do that. I think I could just tell a story. So yeah, my youngest brother got married. I wasn't invited to the wedding, but it's okay. He just thought I was very busy and famous, which I am. Mm-hmm. But yeah. My mother, she's very religious, very Christian. My brother converted to Islam right before his wedding. And it was a last minute wedding. So she showed up to the wedding and no one informed her it was going to be at a mosque. She proceeded to lose her mind, talk a lot of shit. And right when the ceremony started, she picked up her chair and turned the face the opposite direction of his wedding. And during their final vows, and because they're in Arabic, which my mom speaks, she gets up and says, your God is not real. There's only one real God. And that's when she was escorted out of the wedding while screaming, it's a Christian nation, over and over again, until she was put into an Uber and sent home.
So I think the surprising part about this story is not that it happened, but that it was within one family, right? Like, it, I mean, mm-hmm. I feel like in the, I can almost imagine the, like, viral video from this that then gets somebody a book deal, but it's very rarely that person's own mom.
Yeah, it's just
how
my mom.
How did you hear this story for the first time?
First of all, I found out through Facebook that the wedding happened, and I was like, excuse me. And then they're like, also, this also happened there. And this is definitely upsetting to me because my mom's also homophobic on top of being Islamophobic. So I was like, I was planning on kicking her out at my wedding, but yet my younger straight brother beat me to it. And now I have to.
That is such, I'm so sorry for you.
It's okay. It's my own fault for holding off for so long.
Yeah, why did you delay so long so as to ruin your own dreams?
Look, here's the thing. My family, she's always been one to be outspoken, and we're not surprised by this behavior. We just kind of have to, like, it's the things if they probably had a conversation beforehand, she probably would have calmed down and not done anything at the wedding. But the rule with my mother is if you don't talk to her beforehand, she's going to have the conversation in a public forum with you.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I mean, we are stand-up comics, so same. I will also add that, Solomon, I mean, this story sounds so painful for your brother. And, you know, I know this is something that mm-hmm. you've also had to weather. And yet, I do feel like there's something that needs to be highlighted here. And that is the move that I have truly never heard of before, where you turn your chair away from what's happening without leaving. I mean, that is such a powerful move, and we don't want to replicate it in this exact situation. We don't want it at your wedding. But I will say for me, like, I'm thinking about it. Like, I'm at a restaurant. I don't like the food.
Just get up, turn a face.
You know, just, like, I don't want to speak to the chef, but I don't want to face the food. You know what I mean? Like, that's a classic move. Like, that is amazing. There's a couple things that we're going to get through, and I'm going to preview some of them. These are things to think about going into a wedding. One is children, yes or no, as attendees. The other one is weather. Like, are we doing an outside wedding and chancing it? Have you ever seen that go badly? And actually, the third thing is, like, have you seen a wedding disaster? What do you think would be the worst wedding disaster? So we're going to start with kids. Kids, pro or con at weddings?
Once that sun sets, the kids should go.
Weather. Alex, have you, like, you're... Come on, you're from the bad weather place.
Yeah, the bad weather place, England. AKA England. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I feel like it's a bit worse over here because in England, it's just impossible to predict. If it rains, it rains. You very rarely have, you know, weddings set fully outside in England for very good reason. And the people who are doing them fully outside, what is wrong with you? Go see someone, make sure you're all right. However, you'd be a bit more gutted if you'd booked, say, a brilliant wedding in Miami on South Beach or something, or in California, and it rained for that, because that does feel like, you know, some sort of karma issue where something's not happy with you.
Okay, so if we're surviving weddings, right? Some things to talk about actually surviving. Bad music, bad food, bad seating, right? So, like, that's when there's assigned seating and you're at the shitty table. So, like, let's just start with bad music. How do we survive this?
Bad music. Honestly, I don't think, like, for me, like, even corny music can be fun. I think you just have to just give in to the chicken dance. And just kind of accept it. Like, it's, I think it's just a situation where if you drink enough, or do whatever alcohol. You need to do, alcohol, maybe some marijuana, whatever you need to do to make
substances, whatever you're enduring. Your solution is substances. And that's really one option.
It's fine. Or find a part of you, if you're sober, find the part of you that's willingly to accept goofy things. Cause you kind of have to get in that mindset for these, cause bad music usually just means corny music, and you just gotta get into the vibe. Or tip the DJ a bunch of money and get them to play different music.
Right. That's my thought was, can we, in good conscience, steal the Bluetooth connection and play our own music? Is that a reasonable thing to do?
I think the moment EDM comes on, that becomes a perfectly accessible option.
Yeah, absolutely. What about bad food? Like, are you showing up to a wedding hungry?
Bad food is fine because we now live in the era of Uber Eats. There's a way around this. There's a workaround.
No, that's genius.
Honestly, you'll be a lot of people's heroes if you're like, hey, I'll get us some Taco Bell right now.
We'll you know eat. What, Solomon, though? That creates a new problem, which is, and this is only if you're at a wedding where you know a lot of people, where do you hit the cutoff of people you're secretly whispering in their ear that you're going to order Uber Eats? Because you know what I mean? Like, then there's going to be that person that you're like three people removed from who didn't get added to the order. And like, if that was me, devastating. Like, I'm not going to be able to recover from that. So that's its own issue is
managing
all that ordering.
I think you have a little more empathy than me. I'm really trying to wrap my head around that.
Okay. I created a problem when it wasn't one.
My tendency is not to care and do as you please.
So the thing that I want to really get to, and Alex, I can't remember if I told this story. Okay, table. Like, let's just talk about seating. Mm. You are seated at a bad table. Maybe you're at the wedding by yourself. You don't know anybody at this table and it's a dud and it's like a seated dinner, or like you're there with your date, but like for some reason you're in a fight or whatever your ex is at the same table. There's a zillion reasons this can be bad. General thoughts and strategies.
Every man for himself. I'm swapping names with someone else's table and I let them take the hit. It's not my problem anymore. I know that's awful, I feel for them, but better them than me. I've done this before, actually, twice. I've done this twice.
I respect that.
I'm not doing that. I love to hear that. Oh my God, Solomon, have you been in this situation?
For me, it's a black people thing that they do with cookouts, which is like eating on the dance floor, and I will happily do that all the time. I don't need to go back to my seat. I will just hover and eat my plate.
So the options are switch name tags, never sit down. I'd like to present a third option that I recently experienced. I went to an event here in Los Angeles, and it was a seated dinner that was about the length of a wedding. And please, Alex, if I couldn't have possibly talked about this at the zombie apocalypse episode, but it has been so on my mind that I honestly might have worked it in there. But here's the story I would like to share with you. I was seated at the very end of the table, and the person that was next to me, her like best friend was seated next to her. So there's these two, the one person I can talk to who's next to me, she's talking to the person next to her the entire time. And they weren't even being rude. They tried to be nice, but it's just like, they've never met me. They're best friends. They have everything in common. So I can't look to my left for conversation. To my right, it's just the end of a table, right? Oh. So there's one other place I can look for conversation that is directly across the table from me at the one person who is seated in front of me and the only other person who is within earshot, and that person was Sofia Vergara.
Wow.
I had to sit across from for 2 hours. She's as beautiful as you imagine. I could not look. I can talk to women. I couldn't even figure out what is the first thing that I might say. Like I couldn't even figure out what is one word that I might say to her. And she wasn't super engaged in trying to chit chat with me, but because she was directly across from where I was sitting, what I chose to do. So the options are that Alex has presented, switch the name tags. I didn't do that. Solomon presented, stand up. I didn't do that. I decided to look off to the side for, I would say, 10 minutes at a stretch, then look at my phone, chuckle at nothing, and try to look the other direction for, I would say, 10 minutes. I just had dinner completely with myself, but also with Sofia Vergara. Like, somehow those two things happened at the same time. When I left, I was honestly so tense from trying to hold it together during that situation. I was like shaking. I had to call like 5 friends on the way home and just be like, I like didn't sleep that night. I couldn't figure it out.
I would have snuck out the bathroom window.
It was that level of like, if I, at one point
too
I did
stressful.
Address her and I just was like, Sofia, like my voice cracked, you know.
You're right though, it's sort of Schrodinger's dinner where you've had dinner with Sofia Vergara, but you also didn't really, because you might as well have been in different dimensions.
I had dinner not looking at Sofia Vergara. I had dinner avoiding, pretend. It was like the equivalent of when I was 14 in a locker room and trying not to look at everybody's budding breasts. That was the experience. Not that I was breast focused. Oh God, Sofia, please don't be listening to this.
You should have turned your chair around.
Solomon, you come with a solution now? Can you imagine how? Now then she would have gone after me. That's very mysterious. Okay, we will be back right after this. So when we were prepping for this episode, this is the part of the episode where we would have like actual survival advice from like the CDC or some other reputable organization. But in wedding culture, that doesn't really exist. So Alex made a suggestion that is unbeatable. Alex suggested we turn to that iconic, I would say, bastion of facts and information, Family Feud, who did back in 2020 an episode where they asked 100 people, and hang on, I'm going to pause. Alex, can you bring that music in? They asked 100 people, what is the worst thing that could happen at a wedding? I thought, honestly, if both of you want to guess, and then I'll see if you make the list. So again, I have asked 100 people. Well, I didn't. But Steve Harvey did. Him personally asked 100 people, what is the worst thing that can happen at a wedding? Alex, we'll start with you. Would you please register your guest?
Bad food.
Okay, bad food. Okay, we've got bad food. And let's check the board. And Alex, it's not even, zero people said that. It's not even on the fucking board, Alex. Well, so Solomon, you have an opportunity to steal here. What is the worst thing that could happen at a wedding? Solomon. Solomon?
I'm going to go with bad weather. I think that should be...
Ding, 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 ding. Six people said bad weather. So you actually do win this round. Surprising that that's what you two said, because the number one answer was the bride or groom cancels.
Oh, crap.
Which is substantially better than...
Which is
substantially worse than food or weather being bad. But you know what? Maybe not. Like, maybe you're the kind of person who's like, I don't care if my betrothed is here. I just want the food and the music and the weather to
it's
be
like,
good.
It's like I said, Cameron, it's every man for himself. As long as I've got good food, good music, I'm happy. You know, I don't really...
If I get stood up at my wedding, we're still going to have a party. Like,
that's... 100%.
Like, I will marry myself if I have to.
I didn't get to wager my guess, but my guess for the worst thing that could happen at a wedding... Nobody shows up at your wedding except for Sophia Vergara.
And her chair is turned around.
Oh, my God. Oh, unlivable. Oh, well, Solomon, we love you. You have been such a delightful first guest. For folks that want to check out your stand-up comedy, which I would absolutely recommend, where's the best place to do that?
I'm Solomon Georgiou all across the board, website, Instagram, if there's another one, please take them out for me. That's all I ask.
There you go. Awesome. Well, thank you, Solomon, and mwah, have a wonderful rest of your day. Mwah. Well, I mean, that went great. That was our first guest. Jesus Christ, we nailed that. But now it's time for What's in Cameron's Backpack. Now, this is when I'll be given a series of scenarios related to a life-threatening event, in this case, weddings, and I'll have to explain how I'd survive. I got a backpack full of items to do so, but unfortunately, it's been packed by producer Alex, which means some of the items will be, like, completely unhelpful. So, Alex, what am I up against? What's in my backpack?
Yes, very exciting. So scenario number one for weddings, What's in Cameron's Backpack. The big day has finally arrived. You're getting married. You're super excited, but when you get to the church, the minister due to ordain the ceremony is nowhere to be seen. You need someone else to conduct the ceremony. In your backpack, you have the cell number for James Corden. You have... a cloning machine, which allows you to make copies of someone in the room. Let's assume anyone in your wedding party. And third, you have a soccer ball with a face drawn on. Which of those do you use?
Well, Alex, this is, first of all, very presumptuous of you. I mean, I've been a guest on James Corden, so I don't know why you think I don't have his cell number.
Do you have his cell number?
No, I do not have a cell number. But a cloning machine which allows me to make copies of someone in the room, don't need it. Soccer ball with a face drawn on, only on a desert island. What I really need is that cell number, and I'll tell you why. Because I'm going to use that number to find Adele's number, and then Adele will come and officiate my wedding. Like he has her number.
That's brilliant.
I think they're close friends, right?
I'm sure, and he'd look forward to that text going, hey, James, it's Cameron Esposito here. First of all, he's like, how is it this number
you
blocked?
You don't remember me. That's the first thing I'll start with. You do not remember me.
And I'm desperate. I'm absolutely desperate for someone to ordain my wedding. So exactly. Do you have Adele's number?
Yeah, exactly. 100%. People love to get that text. It'll go brilliantly. But the thing about Adele is, like, she's so passionate. She's the perfect person to marry you. Let's move on.
She is. Scenario number two. You're about to get married and are super excited. Let's say Adele's ordaining the ceremony. But at the last minute, you realize you've lost both wedding rings. In your backpack, you have a roll of aluminum foil. You have two beautiful weddings with MAGA carved on the sides of them. And third, you have the two wedding rings used from a family member's previous unsuccessful wedding, which ended in divorce. What do you use and why?
This is so easy. Well, I believe Taylor Swift said it best when she said, I'd marry you with paper rings. So we're going to use the aluminum foil to make rings. We're going to throw the MAGA rings in the MAGA. I can't even remember how to fucking say it because I've wiped it from my brain. We're going to throw those in the trash. So we're going to get married with the aluminum foil rings. But this is, again, one of these times I'm just breaking the rules and I'm going to use those two wedding rings from the divorce and just like melt them down, reposition the stones and use them for our wedding. Things aren't cursed. Just people are.
Excellent. Well, scenario number three, your third and final scenario. The ceremony has been and gone without a hitch, and you're celebrating afterwards. Dinner has finished, and the best man is giving a speech, but the speech is highly inappropriate, and he's absolutely bombing. In your backpack, you have an air horn, you have a tennis ball, and you have a bucket of KFC chicken. What do you use?
Yeah. I mean, I guess, honestly, the air horn, simply because I have actually been to this wedding.
Oh, really?
Where the best man... Oh, yeah.
Go on.
Thank you for bringing up this scenario. A best man got up. He gave an interminable speech. He was ham-boned out of his tree.
Oh.
He was slurring. And the worst part about this is that because he was so drunk, he couldn't remember what he'd previously said, and he was just doing a circle. It was bit of an Ouroboros of toasts where he kept re-imparting the same moment that he'd had with the groom. Just over and over, people had to shout him down. People
really?
Had to shout
Wait, how long has this gone
him
back?
Down. It went on for like 10 minutes.
Oh my God.
It was rough.
So Cameron, are you ready to take us through Thrive, Survival, Take a Dive?
Oh yeah, I'm so ready. So this is, of course, that game where Alex gives me three celebrities in an ultimate survival scenario. I got to explain who will thrive, who will survive, who will take a dive. Now, Alex has picked these names from randomcelebritygenerator.com, so it could be anyone. Alex, who is going to thrive, survive, take a dive in a wedding context?
So this week's names are Zac Efron, Sandra Bullock, and Macaulay Culkin. And like you said, you'll have to decide who's best suited to surviving a wedding ceremony.
Oh, wow. I mean, this is so easy because, first of all, who's going to take a dive? Unfortunately, it's Macaulay Culkin. Love his work, but he's just not as relevant to my life. Who's going to survive? Zac Efron. He can dance. He can do push-ups. He's also like seems to be a genuinely interesting guy. So he is for sure going to survive, even do well at the wedding. But who's going to thrive? Come on. Sandra Bullock. I mean, yeah, she's great in The Proposal.
Sure.
She's unmissable in Miss Congeniality. But most importantly, she is in my heart, you know? Like, that woman. Are you a big Sandy fan?
I am a big Sandra Bullock fan. I'm sort of feeling a bit gutted for Macaulay Culkin there, though, because I tell you what, it's certainly the wedding I'd most like to go to, just to see the carnage that ensues, yeah.
Oh, I don't think it's going to be carnage. You know what? I feel like that gentleman has, like, for sure weathered a wild storm and come out on top. These are three celebrities who have fucking been through it. I want to acknowledge that. First of all, like Zac Efron, like, completely patrolled for his like face. He had to like starve himself to be in Baywatch. Macaulay Culkin, like child actor who was just like famously had to fight his parents for like financial control of his own life. And then Sandra Bullock, I don't really know what happened to her. Not as much.
She's just untouchable,
she's
Sandra Bullock. You can't take on Sandra. You cannot take on Sandra Bullock.
I think she's been fine. Well, that's our episode for today. And what have we learned? Well, Solomon Giorgio gave us all a new fear. Someone turning their chair away from us. Also, if you're having a wedding, don't put me at a table with Sofia Vergara. And 10 minutes is far too long for a wedding toast. Now, final question. Would I survive a wedding or die trying? I've survived too. We will be back every Wednesday for another episode of Survive or Die Trying. Survive or Die Trying is produced by Sony Music Entertainment. The executive producers are Jasmine Henley Brown and Cameron Esposito. Our senior producer is Medina Parwana, and our producer is Alex Zonneveld. Engineering is done by Sam Baer.